Welcome to Thundercast, your go-to podcast for everything Manchester Thunder. I'm Lindsay Chapman. I'm a TV and radio presenter and an international netball commentator. And as we hurtle towards Netball Super League 2025 and the move towards professionalisation, I'm going to bring you the latest news, views and quite possibly shoes. Seriously, how many pairs of trainers do netballers actually need? From inside the Manchester Thunder camp, there'll be players' interviews, behind-the-scenes access and features about the club that you may not know. I also really want you to get involved with the podcast. I want to hear your thoughts and your opinions. More on that coming later in this pod, so keep on listening. Oh, and by the way, I've got an exclusive offer for you when it comes to the home arena games that Manchester Thunder are going to be playing. So again, keep listening. You do not want to miss out on that. So let's get started. And who better to begin the new series with than franchise director and head coach, Karen Gregg. Karen, it is brilliant to see you.
It's so good to be here. I'm face to face.
Face to face. It's such a treat. It really is. And of course, we are in your natural environment because I've come down to Platfield Sports Complex to join a training session. What have you already been doing today?
A lot of planning. So we've had some meetings actually with England Netball around our arena game in Liverpool and how we can engage with the community over in Merseyside. So some really exciting stuff happening.
Right. So let's talk about Super League 2025 then. As netball moves towards becoming a fully professional sport, things are going to look and feel really different, certainly to previous seasons. And a couple of headliners, just to remind you, there's going to be fewer teams in Super League 2025 as the structure moves from 10 to 8 teams, and squad sizes are changing as well. So they're reducing from 12 to 10 players per squad. And that's all about making the league more competitive with a better spread of top talent across the country. So let's talk about your squad then, the squad that you've put together for the new season. And it's fair to say that it's a pretty recognisable Thunder side, but there is one face in black and yellow that we haven't seen before, and that's in the defensive end. So let's start there. So joining Josie Huckle and Elia McCormick is South African Nicholas Smith, who actually won with Loughborough Lightning last year. So Shadeen van der Merwe has moved to Loughborough Lightning. Nicholas Smith has joined you. What are you hoping to gain with that signing?
I think just that extra little bit of height and that versatility through those back positions. I think as soon as you know you're playing off 10, you need to be looking at, well, actually, what are my combinations going to look like? Where are my main key connections going to be? Who can offer me more than one, two positions? Because ultimately, I think when you're in a squad of 10 players, we need to be playing across two positions and we need to understand what those units are going to look like. And I think with somebody like Nicola, with her height and a reach, per Josie and Elia, the heights that they've got between them, it will hopefully make us a bit of a scary unit to come up against. And that recruitment piece was so important because you've got to make sure you get it right. And we were really thorough with what that recruitment process looked like. Ultimately, we haven't won a title since 2022. And for me, that's not good enough as a Manchester Thunder. Yes, it was great. We were in the final last year. We went one better from the year before. We have to go one better again in my eyes. And as much as I would have loved to have kept that squad together from last year and move forward, had we have had the same result, then questions would have been asked of, you can't expect something different with the same thing. So we had to make small changes.
I'm really fascinated by that side of things because you're so tactical. You know, we see it week in, week out on the court, the changes that you make. But I was commentating on the Jamaica England International with Serena Guthrie, and she said defence is where games are won. And hearing you talk about putting together a 10, because I thought there's much more overlap here between different positions than I think we've ever seen across the league.
Yeah, and there has to be. And I looked at every player across the league. Every player was ranked in my document as to where they could fit. If you're a centre court player and you can only offer a wing defence or a centre, you're going to struggle because teams are going to struggle to carry those players. So when some players weren't signed, whilst it was potentially sad and upsetting for those players, I fully understand some of the decisions that were made by the coaches.
Yeah, it's just fascinating to me and the sort of the tactical brains and everything that goes on behind the scenes. A couple of other headlines as well in terms of moving towards that 2025 and the professional side of things is that there's a new feeder league, isn't there, called the Next Gen League. That's to sort of bring talent through, make make sure we've got those world-class players and also a pipeline of talent for NSL. 50% of the games are going to be in arenas and the fans will be able to watch every game. And that salary increase, you know, in terms of moving things up by at least 60%, which is what we've heard, which is great. But you're sort of saying, obviously, we've got to keep moving forward. We can't stop there.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, ultimately, do we want our players to be fully professional? Absolutely, we do. You know, like I would have loved that as a player. And the salaries at the moment, yes, that they have improved massively across the board, but it's not enough to give up your day job still. You've still, these athletes are still going to have to work. And it's great that the players are getting paid more money. But I think with that, we've got to expect more from them as well. So it's them finding the feet in that space. So we're putting more demands on the players, and whilst they've still got to work, that's tough.
Oh, it's tough because it was already tough, wasn't it? So it is that absolute balance. So let's talk about your midcourt then. We've got names that we recognise from the Thunder camp: Taylor McKevitt, Amy Carter, Emma Rayner rejoins the squad, and then you did also sign Nat Metcalf, and you've got a big smile on your face because she's got really big news. She's expecting her first baby. Congratulations to her and Josh. Can you tell us what you're doing there?
No.
I thought I was going to get an exclusive.
No, I'm not giving anything away. You know, I think super, super happy for Nat and Josh. You know, so excited when she rang me and told me where we're at now with our squad. We're obviously sitting on 9 players for next season. We're not in any rush to replace Nat. We want to fully support her, you know, make sure she's still fully integrated into our squad. She's still on full salary with us so that, you know, she gets what she needs for her life and being able to continue. We've got an exciting opportunity between now and the start of the season to really get a good look at the next gen squads from across the whole league, because under the new rules we can pull a player from anywhere across that next gen. So that's definitely something that we're going to be doing. I think the next gen league starts on the 8th of February, so we've got a good 4 weeks before the Super League season starts in to get eyes on those other squads and make some decisions.
Well, let's talk about your shooting end then, because I feel like that might be a little bit flexible now as well. So those combinations from last year: Paige Reed, Elmore Vandenberg and Lois Pearson, of course, who's had just a fantastic time, hasn't she, on the international stage recently. But you're saying, well, could we put her in as wing attack, which I've absolutely loved watching, yep. You know, the way that she thinks and she moves. Can you tell me any more about your shooters, or do you want to say, hey, I'm just having a look and thinking?
No, I think, you know, you got eyes on all our shooters last year. And I think the good thing about that unit is that it's so flexible. You know, all of them can offer me 2 positions at least, you know, and Lois smashing at international level, doing what we knew she was more than capable of. And I think with Paige and Elmore, you know, we know they can both give me goal shooter. We know they can both give me goal attack. And actually, the way Elmore plays the game at goal attack, she's quite elusive. You know, she's 6'3" or something like that. So to have that different dynamic of a goal attack coming in with that height, and she's rapid, is really exciting with a solid Paige at the back. I think it's definitely exciting that we've got that flexibility between Lois, Paige and Elmore. And then obviously we've got decisions to make about what that 10th player is going to look like, whether it will slot into the shooting unit or the centre court. So,
I mean, definitely watching Thunder last year, one of the things that I really picked up on was the different times the goal attack entered the shooting circle. And it really messed with teams' heads, you know, and I think it sounds like you want to build on that, but also question those players and say, well, what else can you bring me? Because I need more for this new season. Big question for you then. On the day the squads were announced, what did you do? Are you like, no, I've got my squad, I'm not going to worry about others? Or are you straight on, like, who's gone where?
I already knew where everyone was. Nobody can keep secrets in the netball world. I had a page on my phone in my notes where every time I heard something, I'd add a player to my list. So I fully knew who everybody had.
Have you got your eyes on any other particular team? You know, who's interested you?
I think it's definitely going to be interesting across the board. You know, I think Loughborough are going to be strong again. You know, losing Mary for them was a big one, but I think they've recruited well in Sammy and Berry, and I think that'll be definitely an interesting shooting lineup to get eyes on and how Vic coaches that. So
yeah, they brought in Sam Wallace, haven't they, from Australia?
Yeah, so you know, they're definitely still going to be a threat in there with their solid unit that they've got in the middle. The way Mavericks are talking a good game and what they want to achieve, and I think they're definitely going to be dark horses to look out for.
They look slick as well, don't they? In sort of the media that they're putting out and the messaging they're putting across. And this is all part of professionalisation. Yeah. You know, it's all sort of we build together. And I've had my eye on them as well and sort of thought, okay, they're bringing these different elements to the package.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about the fans. Obviously, Manchester Thunder fans are so important to you. They bring so much joy, don't they? And so much noise as well. And you can feel them lift the team. What can they expect from the season?
Hopefully lots of excitement. I know there's loads of work. We're doing lots of work behind the scenes, you know, in our marketing and media environment. What does our game day look like? How can we improve it? You know, and there's so much going on behind the scenes to make sure that, you know, we like to think we already give our fans a really good experience when they come to watch us, but we want to make it bigger and better. And we want to make sure that our fans are keep coming back through the door. So they can definitely expect some good netball, hopefully some competitive netball. You know, we want to put spectacle out there. And just that, you know, that loud Thunder family, drums, chanting, you know, the music, everything. I think that comes from coming to a Manchester Thunder game. Our volunteers really make those days. You know, they get everybody going and, you know, I get a buzz just thinking about game day and what that looks like and what we can actually bring to our Thunder family. And hopefully we'll be bringing back the trophy, fingers crossed, come July the 6th.
There is a big statement. Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. And you've got, you know, the hairs on the back of my neck are standing up because I can't wait to get back into the Super League season. I know that I need to let you go. You've got a training session to run, but just final really big question for you. Why'd you go so early on Christmas? You know, what is going on with you and the Christmas thing, Karen Gregg?
Do you know what? I've been proper itchy feet. And I said to Baz, my fella, the other week, can you just get the stuff out of the loft for me? And if I get 5 minutes here and there, I'll just start putting it up, and you know, and then before I knew it was just up.
Yeah, it's just Christmas.
Yeah,
I saw an Instagram post in maybe July where you'd got like Christmas socks on and a Christmas jumper.
All year round. Not a jumper. I wouldn't wear a jumper all year round. But Christmas jammies, Christmas socks, absolutely. Why not? You know, every day is Christmas in my world.
Well, look, the rule is the 1st of December. That's the rule. But I have secretly enjoyed your stuff. Very good indeed. Right, I will let you go back to training. Thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you.
Well, what a pleasure, hey, to hear from Karen and get a real insight into her hopes for the team in 2025. It's just fascinating getting inside her mind. Now, I am so excited for the next bit of the podcast because it's when I get to talk to you, the brilliant Manchester Thunder fan. Seriously, I am so looking forward to this. Every month on Thundercast, I want to hear your thoughts and opinions on everything Manchester Thunder. So as we move through the season, I want to hear your thoughts on games, on how the team is shaping up, and what you've noticed as a Thunder supporter. So there might be a theme that we're talking about, or you might just want to throw me a curveball. Whatever it is, I am here for the fan analysis, or fanalysis, as I've called it. And I am so proud of that. That might be the best thing that I have ever come up with. If you fancy giving it a go, come on, come and talk to me. Use the hashtag Thundercast on Twitter or drop me a DM. I'm Lindsay Chapman, presenter on Instagram. Or of course, you can drop me an email. The email is hello@a-linedmedia.co.uk. The information is also in the show notes, so just scroll down a little bit. So to kick things off, I'm super excited to introduce my very first guest on Fanalysis. Welcome to Thundercast. What's your name?
Hi there, Lindsay. I'm Fiona.
Hello, Fiona. It's brilliant to have you on the podcast. What do you think, first of all, of the name Fanalysis? And don't crush my dreams here.
To be fair, I quite like it.
Thank you.
It does take a bit of pronunciation.
Yeah, but once you've got it right. It's really good. Yeah, it's Fanalysis. It's Fanalysis. It's great. Fiona, brilliant to have you on the podcast. How long have you been supporting Manchester Thunder?
You know what? I was trying to think of that for this interview. I'm not actually sure, to be honest, but I think it's at least since about 2010. It was the original Northern Thunder era, but it's a good while anyway. 14 years odd? Gosh.
And you certainly attend the games, don't you? You know, I watch you on Twitter and I see that you've got different thoughts about the games. What's it like going to a Thunder game and being a fan in that stadium?
Oh my gosh, I love Thunder games. I absolutely do. Especially home matches. I've been to a few away matches, been down to Loughborough Lightning, been to the Cop Box, etc. But there's nothing so noisy as a Manchester Thunder home game. The drums, the dancing bear, got Thunder Bear, obviously. So yeah, Thunder games I love. The atmosphere is just something really very special. And it's properly noisy.
Let's get on then to your analysis. In terms of the team that are coming together for 2025, like, what do you like? What do you notice? Where do you think, you know, Thunder might be able to make that difference? Because last year they weren't able to lift the trophy aloft, were they? You know, they came second. So there needs to be something different this year. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm intrigued. I think the kind of reboot of the Super League, the whole, you know, 2.0 scenario, and the squads of 10 and how that's going to be used differently. So in terms of having a versatile and flexible squad, and just even looking at the Thunder website and looking at the volume of positions that people play, I think Thunder are really well set up to have a versatile, super versatile squad, especially that defensive end and the kind of centrepiece. So I'm really intrigued to see what will happen with some of the leavers. Obviously, we've had Kerry leave after, what, 900 years playing goalkeeper Thunder. She's always been on court pretty much every time I've you know, been watching each season. So it'll be interesting to see how they replace Kerry. And I think Hucker will be phenomenal. I'm really excited about that. But she's been so good the last couple of years. Loved
Amazing
it.
Player. And I think Karen said, which was really interesting, that she is looking for versatility across the court, but really Josie Huckle is more of an out-and-out goalkeeper. So if there's one position that is possibly less flexible in the squad, it's her. And so it's great that you sort of identified and said, yeah, Kerry Armand, what a player for Thunder, but that's moving on, you know?
Yeah, no, I've loved watching Huckle's development under kind of the Thunder style, and I just think she's such a completely different player to her previous life being in other teams. I think she's just phenomenal. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how the defence end shapes up with no Kerry and no kind of voice of Kerry either. That's the other thing. Even when she's been injured, she's been there and you can hear her. You can hear her on court, can't you?
She'll still be in the crowd though. She'll be hollering from the stands.
So yeah, I'm intrigued to see how the defence end will work. And obviously kind of with Immo leaving, that centre court's going to be really very different. So I'm looking forward to see how that will shape up. And I'm always excited to see how proper tall defenders do as well. And that switch out from Shadeen with Nicola Smith coming in from Loughborough, that's going to be really different to see how that gels. So I think there's loads of exciting things to look at.
I think you've hit some really great points there, actually. And you're right, Karen again was looking for that bit of height from Nicola, maybe different to what Shadeen offered. But yeah, the midcourt, well, I'm quite a fan of Emma Rayner. You know, I quite like the pocket rockets, as we call them, you know, and she's a very fresh player, what she can bring. And then you just really wondered your thoughts on Lois Pearson, because everybody's talking about her following the international games, aren't they? She's just such a thinking player and the way that she moves as well. But Karen has kept the same shooting circle, which got her a really long way last season in that she could sort of put other teams off, couldn't she, by changing what she did and how they entered the circle. But still need to push one further, don't we? We can't be in that runner-up position.
Yeah, and I did wonder, because Lois seems to have been playing a lot more wing attack over the international series, or a bit more at Jamaica, she played a bit more goal attack, whether Karen will keep her as goal attack or let her swing more into the wing attack role, where she's been kind of an absolute standout internationally, kind of filling that wing attack gap we've maybe had a little while other than Metcalf. So I wonder if she'll be used more in wing attack, or whether she'll absolutely be the starting goal attack for every game, or whether maybe Paige will slide over. So,
I know you're a big fan of the netball over in Australia as well, and you keep up with that, but
just tell me,
just to finish with, where you think, you know, Manchester Thunder are going to have to work hardest. Let me put it like that, rather than, you know, where are the chinks in the armour? Because we don't want to give that away to other teams. But with this new 10, when you're looking at those names and you sort of, you love watching those players across court, where do you think, okay, we're really going to have to maybe knuckle down in these areas?
I think, to be fair, I think it's across the court. There's new combinations in all thirds, or established combinations with a new player coming in. So there's going to be some connections that we'll need to develop. So I think for me, I don't think there's one standout area to focus on. I think there's just combinations to build across the whole team. But the Thunder pathway and the Thunder way of playing is such a strong kind of sense of how they play. Hopefully all of that will click into gear, because it always has done. Even, you know, in previous seasons, there's been a kind of, oh gosh, I wonder how that's going to work and how those people will all gel together. But they do, and they absolutely do. But that next stage for the next piece of development in terms of like actually reaching the trophy, I think is a whole court piece for me personally, as like kind of nosy fan, would be how it all gels together.
Absolutely. Great answer. And finally then, what's the best chant at Thunder? What do you enjoy? Because I know that you go with your mates and that you like to get involved. So what's the best Thunder fan chant?
Well, I'm hoping, and I don't know if Debbie Hellis will agree, that they drop Sweet Caroline. I'm not sure that's my favourite, but I do have a least favourite, and it's the third quarter Sweet Caroline. I always wish they would just stop playing that. But it's become a tried and tested thing. Everyone just looks at me at the beginning of the third quarter like, are you going to sing? I'm like, no, absolutely not, no.
There you go. That is why you come to Fanalysis, because it's controversial. Fee wants to drop the Sweet Caroline anthem. Thank you so much for talking to me and bringing your thoughts and ideas. I really hope, you know, that as a fan, you get what you want out of the season, which sounds like just some really good close games. It's lovely to talk to you. Thank you, Fee.
Oh, no worries, Lindsay. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. There she was, Fee, part of, in fact, the inaugural Fanalysis. And if you'd like to take part, DM me with a note on what you'd like to discuss. As I said, I'm Lindsay Chapman, presenter on Instagram, or use the hashtag ThunderCast. Or, of course, you can drop me an email. The email is hello@a-linedmedia.co.uk. The wilder, the better. Get in touch with me with your thoughts. Well, now it's time for Access All Areas. And with preparations well underway for the season, I wanted to hang out with the team at training and ask those daredevil questions that no one ever asks them. So let's see who's about. Aha, who have we got here?
Emma Rayner, Wing Attack Centre.
Emma Rayner, brilliant to speak to you. Right, Emma, which bit of kit is your favourite bit of kit?
Oh, that's a good question to start off with. I think at the minute, my favourite kit item that we've got is the gelée that we've been given this year. An extra bonus. Taylor's been fighting hard for that one.
Excellent stuff. What is the worst netball position, the worst one?
I feel like your goal shooter is a bit of princess energy, don't they? We'll go with goal shooter.
Excellent. Who is the dark horse of Manchester Thunder?
I do, like, for me, like, the connection I've, like, got with Elma Ray, absolutely love it. She obviously had a stormer last season. And I think I would have said Lewis, but I think she's starting to come through and people are giving her the appreciation she deserves.
And Emma, just tell me, before a match, you're getting ready to go, what song are you listening to?
At the minute, I've had a bit of a mixture, I must admit. I do love Too Cool To Be Careless by Porter at the minute.
Super, thank you so much.
No worries.
Who's this over here? It's Taylor McKevitt. Hello.
Hi.
Remind us what positions you play, Taylor.
So I play wing defence and centre.
Who is your nemesis player?
I'm actually going to be really specific and keep it a thunder and say when me and Amy Carter play against each other, we just scrap and fight.
Post-game, what's your ritual?
Sometimes it's just like, like get a takeaway, get a Domino's. Don't tell Karen.
Not sure that's allowed, is it? No, that's not allowed. Right, away from netball, what is your favourite Christmas movie and why?
I like The Princess Switch, the Vanessa Hudgens ones on Netflix because they're just awful.
I have not seen that. Give me a quick synopsis.
So Vanessa Hudgens plays like two different characters. One's a princess and one's not a princess and they switch. Love, romance, classic.
She's about the love and the romance. Taylor McKevitt, who knew? I've managed to sneak myself on court in a training session. This is wonderful. And I found Elia McCormick. Hi, Elia.
Hi.
Just remind us of your positions.
So defender, goalkeeper, goal defence, maybe a little sneaky wing defence here and there, yeah.
What are you most looking forward to in season 2025?
I think just how many new squads there are. Obviously, we've lost some, we've gained some. And just the players within those squads, it'll be a totally different league than last year. So it's just going to be really exciting.
Here come the big questions. Who is your nemesis player across the league?
Maybe someone like Liv Tashin. I know we're like a similar age, so I've played against her when we've been playing like MPL, stuff like that. So it's always like a heated match when we come up against each other and like pulse as a team as well. So maybe Liv.
Away from netball, what's your guilty pleasure?
Guilty pleasure. I love going to the theatre. I've always done drama when I've been growing up. So going to the theatre, I always get it. If it's a birthday present, Christmas present, always ask for tickets. So yeah.
You are a girl of my own heart there because I absolutely love the theatre. What have you seen recently that you've enjoyed?
So I recently went to watch Burlesque, which was amazing. Like, the talent at the theatre is just wild. And then earlier this year, I seen Chicago as well. So two very similar. So yeah, girl power it really was.
And what is the best thing about Manchester Thunder?
Just the team, the girls, the environment, the coaches, all coaching staff. Like, I know it's like cliche, but everyone is such a family, and like, we're all just besties. We see each other that much, you kind of have to be, but yeah, it's such a nice environment to be in.
Can't wait to see you next season.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Nat Metcalf and I play a wing attack, goal attack for Manchester Thunder.
Nat, what is your favourite Christmas tune?
I really like the Leona Lewis one, but now I can't remember. Five more sleeps on my own. That one.
Yeah, we got a full song there. Brilliant. Apart from netball, which we know that you love, what's your guilty pleasure?
Reality TV.
Be more specific.
Right now, I'm a celeb.
There she is on a Saturday/Monday night. What is your hype song? What really gets you going before a match?
Anything pop. I don't know why my brain's going to S Club 7, but it is, so I'm just going to roll with it.
Amazing. Reach for those stars. And finally, congratulations, you're pregnant. Tell us, what are you eating at the moment? You know, do you have that thing? I know I did, where I was like, I have to eat salt and vinegar crisps. That was me. What about you?
Salt and vinegar crisps. Yeah, that is it. Aside from everything else. Yeah.
Well, look, keep eating those. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm Josie Huckle and I play goalkeeper for Manchester Thunder.
Come on then, Josie. Tell me, how many pairs of netball trainers do you own?
Currently, I have only two, so I have two per season. Yeah, and sometimes it goes up to four, depending on how much running Karen makes to do.
How far have you travelled to be at training tonight? Because you don't actually live in the Northwest, do you?
No, I live nowhere near the Northwest. I have travelled from Bedford, so I think it's about 100 and something odd miles.
Brilliant to have you here. If you were in a school, what subject would be the best subject?
My favourite was psychology.
Okay, interesting stuff. What is the hardest thing about Karen's training sessions?
The fact that you feel like you want to die every time you come here. They're very intense. And actually, do you know what? It's the brain, the thinking some of the time as well. It's the brain stuff that goes in there.
What have you learned about Manchester Thunder since you moved to play for the club?
That Northern grit is an absolute true term that is linked to this club.
It's something we're very, very proud of in the North. Who is the dark horse of Manchester Thunder?
Paige Reed. Because she is super sneaky, super hilarious, and is just so nimble on her feet when she's moving around the court.
What is your favourite Christmas movie and why?
Oh, that's really difficult. Probably, I'm going to be boring and say Elf, because it's just hilarious and it makes me really festive and Christmassy.
That's so lovely. Mine is Die Hard. Is that a Christmas film?
I've never seen them. So...
What? What? Get off this podcast right now. Get out.
I can't agree with that, so I don't know. I'll say yes, because you're here with the microphone in my face.
Correct. And finally, what is your netball nickname?
I've been coined the name of Juicy by my teammates as of last year, and they sing Juicy every time I get the ball.
So there you have it, a first look inside the squad and some brilliant insights as well. Taylor McKevitt, who knew? And so we reach the final whistle. Wow, this episode has really flown by. Just a quick reminder that Super League 2025 launches on the 8th of March with a brand new Netball Super Cup event featuring all eight teams in action in Sheffield. And then the regular season starts with a home game for Manchester Thunder against Loughborough Lightning. It's going to be so good. On Sunday, the 16th of March at the AO Arena, no less. And I did mention at the beginning of the pod that there would be an exclusive discount for you. So here it is, the Thundercast exclusive. You can get a 10% discount on gold and silver tickets for the two Thunder Arena game. So the one I mentioned, Sunday the 16th of March at the AO Arena, and then Sunday the 18th of May at the M&S Bank Arena. If you remember, that's where the Netball World Cup was in 2019. And actually, it's the first time that professional netball has been in Liverpool since that date. So brilliant. Be there. It's against newcomers Birmingham Panthers. So go on and head to the Thunder website, check out all the information. And if you go to Fanbase, add the tickets to your basket and use the promo code, here it is, Thundercast, to get your discount. That is valid until the end of the year. Do it now. It's a lovely Christmas present. Oh, and I should mention as well, the grand final this year is on Sunday, the 6th of July, and it's at the O2 in London. That is huge. And look, I don't want to jinx anything, right? But just buy your tickets now. Just get those tickets now. Come on, Thunder. Thank you so much for listening. This show was written and presented by me, Lindsay Chapman, and produced by Ed Heaton. It's an Aligned Media production for Manchester Thunder. I am off to go and count my netball trainers. I will see you next time. Bye.